like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank, word to Chris Hanks. Before to put it all together, this is big thanks. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 20. 2016, like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never. Going hard as ever, the results match the effort.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Shrimp Tank, and good morning to you. Thanks for joining us at lunchtime here. The Shrimp Tank is brought to you right here at the studios in Atlanta Business Radio X in Sandy Springs. We come to you every week live, 11:30 to 12:30. Again, thanks for joining us. And really, every week, we interview some of the brightest and best entrepreneurs, not only in the city of Atlanta, but all around the state of Georgia. And sometimes we get some kids in here with some pretty bright ideas, those in high school and college, that want to be the future entrepreneurs of tomorrow. What we try to do on here on the Shrimp Tank is talk about the do's and don'ts of running, growing, and starting a business. And ultimately, sometimes we bring people here on the tank, we find out whether their business will swim or whether it will sink right here on the tank. As always, I'm your co-host, Ted Jenkins, sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who is the executive director and founder for now the Shore Center for Entrepreneurship. So good morning to you, Mr.
Good
Hanks.
Good morning to you, Mr. Ted. How are you?
Is this better than being in class? Is it class better or is it better being a podcaster?
You know what? Yeah, no, it's always better to have some class.
Oh, you like that,
Ted? You like that one? That was a Fat Albert joke, yeah, though. That was a Fat Albert reference way back when. So yeah, there we go. You're NC. No class.
Now, I don't know if a lot of people saw this, and I know that you've been doing a ton of media. You're on the junket right now,
I think. I'm on the junket. Right? I did NPR yesterday.
This is unbelievable. That's what I heard. I want to hear more about this, and that a lot of you that may not know this, and again, I'm telling you that Kennesaw State is blowing up right now in a good way. There's unbelievable things that are happening there. And since Chris came to Kennesaw State and really founded this Center of Entrepreneurship, it is now officially the only school, correct, in the entire state of Georgia where a kid can go to school and actually get a degree in entrepreneurship.
Absolutely. We are the first and we are the only, and it's been amazing and it's been great. And what a catalyst to make Kennesaw State University the destination point for anybody who's serious about entrepreneurship.
Yeah, and I think, if you think about this at home, if you're an entrepreneur right now or you have kids that are going through high school and they're thinking about what to do with their career, I'm amazed about how many kids come out of college with a quote-unquote liberal arts degree, a.k.a. I'm going to cut chicken at Chipotle, something like that. But, when people get a degree in entrepreneurship, whether you're in a corporation and you're going to work your way up the ladder in Home Depot or UPS or Coca-Cola, or you're going to start your own business, the skills of learning to be an entrepreneur truly are life skills. So what actually happens for a child that will go through this curriculum to get to become an entrepreneur at Kennesaw State?
Yeah, well, it's not necessarily what we know, but it's what we do with what we know.
I love that word, do.
So absolutely. Action trumps everything in entrepreneurship. So we are less interested in teaching entrepreneurship and more interested in having them experience entrepreneurship. So everything's experiential with us and we force these students to act and those actions help them become better versions of themselves. So whether or not they end up starting their own business or not, they are going to be transformed if they come to Kennesaw State University.
Well, we're really excited today. We're going to bring on our guests in just a minute, but we've had a lot of business owners that have come onto this show, people that are in the fence business, people that waterproof basements, people that sell real estate, all sorts of different businesses. But we have yet to have on this show, and we're excited today, to have a mayor. That mayor is truly, I feel like we've made it now that we've got a mayor. But yeah. We've got on Derek Easterling, who we're going to bring on in just a minute, who's the mayor of Kennesaw, the chief executive officer. We're also fortunate to have Dr. Drobny on here, who is the city manager, right? Correct?
Yes,
and we're excited to hear all about the inner workings of this. I'm not sure how we're going to really handle the plead the fifth today, though, Ryan, because
it's a little tough today.
You have to decide what happens when you troll around the city of Kennesaw and what problems you could have by asking the wrong questions.
Yeah, I already got his tag.
And, you know, Chris, before we bring them on, I wanted to ask you this question. You know, when I was early in my management career, and I'm wondering about how you teach this, because I think a lot of people don't realize that this entrepreneurship program, there really are no tests. You're not going to get out a pencil and hit a Scantron and, you know, color in, you know, A, B, C, B, C, A. That's how I passed my SATs, by the way. And the thing I really wanted to, my first boss had told me in there when I got into management is this idea of I must do. And this is when you mention this word do, that the term I must do is really a first party non-negotiable action. That's really what it is. I must do. And so how do you teach this process for people out there around doing?
Yeah, well, you force it and you hold them accountable to it. First day of class, I scared a lot of people because the first thing we did before we talked syllabus or anything, I made everybody get up and they all had to pitch what is special and unique about you. And just that alone, you're forcing them to act. And, you know, because again, you know, knowledge, there's that quote that knowledge is power, and it's not, it's the potential for power. I mean, I know that eating McDonald's is not very good for me, but I went through a McDonald's drive-thru very recently. So, you know, like, so what? You can know that it's bad for you, but so what, unless you do. And so we just constantly instill that because you can't really just, if you don't start doing, you won't start behaving differently. You won't start getting different results. And entrepreneurship is all about doing. Starting something from nothing is the hardest job in business. And we force people to actually start moving in that direction.
For all those kids that want to sit in the back of the classroom, there's none of that in a Hanks class.
Yeah, you know what? And for the first time, the first day of class, I had a girl walk out because when I said, okay, get up, get against the wall, you're going to pitch, scared her to death, and she left.
Really?
Yes, she did. So she actually left.
Four years so much, of right? PE there.
So it's a very scary thing, and I get it. But you know what? Leaders become comfortable doing the uncomfortable, right? And that's where success begins, outside that comfort zone. So we have to force it.
Well, this is great stuff. You're listening to The Shrimp Tank right here in Atlanta Business Radio X. We come to you live every week, 11:30 to 12:30 on Thursdays. Thanks for joining us during lunchtime. As always, you can hear a replay of all of our podcasts at shrimptankpodcast.com. You can catch some great videos. If you want to learn how to become an entrepreneur, we have 50 videos that are up there now, some of the brightest and best entrepreneurs. They're about 6 minutes a video. Watch them all, and you're going to learn about 40 things that you should do and not make some of the mistakes that some of our entrepreneurs made on their way to growing their business. So we're really excited today to have the mayor of Kennesaw, Derek Easterling, with us today. It's exciting to have a mayor because a lot of people think if you work in a government-type job or you're a mayor or you're running something like that, they don't realize that you're really running a gigantic business. And so I guess my first question is, with all of the stuff that goes on today with media and politics, you know, what really got you excited about wanting to lead an entire city?
Hey, Ted, thank you for having me. I think it's the challenge. I think it's just what Chris said. It's not a test, but it is pass fail. If you're up for the challenge, this is where you need to be. And I'm up for it because I got a great city manager. I got a great staff. How can I go wrong? They don't want to fail. They want to succeed. And I want them to. So develop my skills or use my skills to support them. Yeah, who wouldn't want to do this?
You know, when you start to lead a city in here, a lot of entrepreneurs often don't think about doing a vision statement and a mission statement. But when you took office in here, how do you go about talking with your team about crafting this vision statement? Because Kennesaw, in my mind, has exploded. I mean, there's so much, not just at the university, but so much happening in the city. How do you lay out that vision or talk to entrepreneurs out there about how you lay out the vision for the people who are working for you on where the future of a city is headed?
We're working on the vision now. The vision lives. So we have to fix it. First, let me say Dr. Drobny is across from me. He's a terrific man, and he keeps me in check. And that's why he's here today. He's going to, like he said, he's going to make sure that I don't give anything away that I shouldn't give away. But we're developing our vision statement right now. We're looking at the future, where we need to be, what we want to be. We're going to market our city. We're going to market it well on that vision statement. Hmm.
So vision statements are something in entrepreneurship we talk a lot about, right? You know, sort of having that picture of the future that produces passion within you. How do you do that in government?
Slowly. And I've been in office about 8 months. And the key for me has been to listen. Find out the SWOT analysis. What are our greatest strengths and what are our weaknesses? Identify them, develop what we can, and then move forward based on our strengths. And then get the folks on the outside to buy in through building trust and confidence so we have a greater effort in achieving our goal.
Hey, you're listening to the Shrimp Tank right here in Atlanta Business Radio X. We're so fortunate today to have the mayor of Kennesaw, Derek Easterling, with us. We have, I guess what I would say now is the right-hand person here, which is Dr. Drobny, who's the city manager. And I'm really curious about what you said, this term of marketing a city, because I've owned several businesses and I love marketing. And I never really thought about, well, what would it be like to market a city? Now, I will say I did live in Cleveland for a while. And if there's any time to market the city, they better have at it now, or because, you know, the last 20 years passed them. But what does that mean? Like, how do you even go about building a marketing plan to market your city? Because you're not just marketing to people in Georgia, right? You're marketing to people that may live in other parts of the country saying you want to move here.
That's right. What do we have to offer? What infrastructure? What is the city willing to do for you to help you be successful? Because it's not about us. We're going to go on. It doesn't have to be your business, but we want it to be your business. So, you know, let's highlight that. Let's look. Economic development. These guys are, they work incredibly hard at maintaining our assets, looking at the resources, what can go where and how. Those are detailed. You know, I'm a cheerleader. I'm out there saying we can. Now they're going to tell me how much we can.
Right.
So it's a great relationship. So market what you do well.
But when you market it, are you marketing when you go out to the general public? Because I look at people when they often say, well, where are we going to end up raising our family, right?
Well, when you hear the name Kennesaw, what do you think of?
Chris Angst.
Okay. Do you think of the university?
I try.
Or do you think of how you feel when you're headed home? You know, do you have that hometown feeling? Do you have that sense of security? You know, we are a top 10 safest city in Georgia.
Is that true?
That's very true.
I didn't know that.
And yeah, I didn't either. We just made another list for being another somebody else's list for top 10 safest city in Georgia. People like to come home. People feel safe in their neighborhoods. And we have a new market, actually, within. We're getting younger. And we have to figure out what this younger generation truly wants. They don't want to drive. So we have to have these facilities that are multi-purpose. They want to walk across the street to work and grab the groceries at the, you know, the commercial or retail space below, grab some dinner, and go up to their apartment. We have to plan for that. In the past, we've been planning for 5 or 10 years. Yeah, we've had people with vision that goes way out. But if we're not looking 20 plus years out, we're going to get consumed by somebody else.
It does seem that way that more cities now want to have this idea of live, work, play, attracting these younger generations. So it seems that you have to make some mix marketing-wise of bringing in businesses and residential retail that all wants to be in that kind of environment.
It's redefining the balance point. What do you have to have to attract the best people for business and the best customers for residents?
So I'm a big proponent, at least with business owners, of keeping score. Because, you know, sometimes when, you know, just by virtue of keeping score, it seems to matter more and you tend to get better results out of people. So, and I'm just curious, in government, like, how do you keep score? How do you keep score? Like do you know, like next month, whether or not you won or lost, are those thoughts because of the uniqueness of government? Do you have a way that you as the mayor keep score, or do you have a different way of sort of monitoring your progress?
Personally, I don't keep score. I do. When I lay down at night, I'm usually asleep before I hit the pillow. So my conscience is clean.
Right,
so
right.
I know I've done the right thing.
Well, and that's impressive for somebody in politics or in government to say.
But if you lead with your heart, and I'm not going to go off on a tangent, but if you lead with your heart, you can't help but do the right thing. You have to realize that you're not going to do what everybody wants you to do. You have to accept that. You have to accept the responsibility. You have to take ownership for your decision. And I think we've done a very good job of doing that this year, since the beginning of my term. And I'm not saying that it wasn't done well before, but this is my first go round. So I'm looking at myself, you know, what kind of feedback am I getting? Do I hear about it more than just council meetings or during work right. sessions? I look at the emails that I receive every day or on the way here and balance that with all of the good that we're doing. When was the last time you saw the city of Kennesaw on the front page of the MDJ or the AJC?
That's true.
That wasn't for something good. You know, we're promoting our city. That's what we're doing. We're promoting the good. We're promoting the good people, the good business. You know, so yeah, measurability, it's pretty subjective how well I do. There's money. You know, I like Jeff's quote. He says, you know, we don't have a spending problem. We have an income problem. But we do very well at managing it. We really do. We've done a great job this year. We put a couple hundred thousand back into reserves this year.
Wow.
So we have a staff that's dedicated. I use that term we loosely because we are a team, but we have some great individuals that are willing to think outside the box to make things, to get things done and get them done well.
Hey, you're listening to The Shrimp Tank right here on Atlanta Business Radio. I actually come to you live every Thursday, 11:30 to 12:30, bringing you some of the brightest and best CEOs all across the state of Georgia. We are so excited today to have on the mayor of Kennesaw, Derek Easterling, and learning more about the business of running a city, which seems like just a giant task. We're sitting also with Dr. Jeff Drobny, who's a city manager. And I'm just curious, I guess, to ask both of you in here, and we'll do a couple questions, then we want to get to some fun sort of our show, the Hot or Not, which I think that you guys will like. It's not our runway portion of the show, but it is a great segment. But I wanted to ask you about this idea of financing. You know, we talk to a lot of business owners that come in. We talk about, did you bootstrap your business? Did you take loans? And so when I look at the kind of growth that's going along in Kennesaw, just construction-wise, seeing these unbelievable projects that are going up all off of the exits on 75, how do you go about planning to grow that kind of business financially? How does a government... do you borrow money, you know, or do you raise it from bonds? You know, what? How do you actually grow the financial infrastructure to grow a city from, you know, 10,000 people to 20,000 to 100,000?
We talked about that. Jeff and I talked about that on the way over. We're talking about reprioritizing SPLOST dollars, not taking away from any one project, but what projects do we accomplish in what order to make them beneficial to keep the wheel of momentum moving. Now, when it comes to the money, when it comes to the finances, I think Jeff is the better person to answer this. But we have a lot of money from the special purpose tax. It's just getting it to where people want it the most. We just had a citizen survey. The number one complaint, obviously, was traffic.
Right.
But the majority of the SPLOST money is going there. But we have other priority projects to improve their neighborhoods with sidewalks, curbs, you know, the sidewalk gutters. It's all part of a process. So how do you prioritize is more of the, how do you prioritize your money, not the project?
Interesting.
Is that the way you see it?
Yeah. And y'all have touched on a number of things that I just kind of fall back on. You mentioned earlier about a business and is a city a business, and we absolutely are. I get up every day and think, wow, you know, I get to operate a $50 million business with a 32.
That's the kind of revenue that comes in?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ultimately with everything from our tax base to our SPLOST dollars. We've got 32,000 very diverse residents who are our customer base. You know, when I get up every morning, I know that I'm going to be held accountable by 32,000 customers, and we've got over 200 employees that you know, and it's critical to me that we provide not only strong a work environment for those employees, but for their families. So that's a huge task and somewhat of a burden that I take on every day as a city manager, and it's important to us that we do a great job with that. You also talked about the mission, vision, and goals. It's interesting. We're just we certainly got a mission statement. We got a vision statement and goals, and that to me is fluid. And we go back and we're reviewing that, and we've just gone through a process with our staff at all levels and got their involvement as to what do they see as our mission, what do they see as our vision, what do they see as our goals, and as well as our values. And then in October, we're going to bring back the mayor and council, and we're going to take what they have and what we've just developed and kind of merge that. So at the end of the day, we've got a standard unified vision that everybody has contributed to, as well as goals going ahead, short-term, medium, and long-term. And long-term for us is 5 years. Anything beyond 5 years is a dream for us, because of we really don't know what's out there. 5 years from now, we can project, but because of how our revenues come in, it's a little bit different than, say, a strategic plan for a business as to how we operate the government. You talked a little bit about a brand. We are all about a brand and about marketing, who we are as a city and what we are as a city. And that's critical for us to be able to attract entrepreneurs. You know, they want to know that we're going to be innovative, that we're looking ahead to have a work, play, live environment that's thriving, that's connected by sidewalks and alternative transportation methods, that we have parks and green space, not only for them and their children, dog parks and all of the stuff that makes a quality environment. Mm-hmm. We bring all that stuff in together. And then certainly the last question you talked about was financing. And we look at a number of ways to fund the government. Certainly our tax revenue coming in from residential taxes, but also bonds for special projects for the Development Authority, Kennesaw Development Authority, KDDA, our Downtown Development Authority, as well as our Urban Redevelopment Agency. SPLOST funds, as the mayor mentioned, our special purpose local option sales tax help fund a number of projects, whether it be parks, whether it be road projects, really anything that is going to improve the quality of life for our residents. You know, what is our goal ultimately, end of the day, is to be responsive to our customers. To provide quality service, outstanding customer service, to be innovative, and to be fiscally responsible. So we operate very, very much like a business, and we are entrepreneurs. Every single day, we look for new ways to be strategic and look ahead so that we're not playing catch up, but that we're actually in front of whatever it is we're doing across the Atlanta region.
Well, I got to tell you something, running a $50 million budget is much larger than I thought. We're going to take a quick break from our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to do our hot or not section in here. We're going to find out what the mayor of Kennesaw thinks about Kennesaw State football very shortly, right after the break.
In business, it's either time or money. How much money does your business lose if your network is down for a day? How much time do your employees waste trying to fix computer issues? At Savant, we have the experts that work on your network to simply make your company run more efficiently. Macs, PCs, mobile solutions, no problem. Savant's battery life never ends. Call 770-438-6240 today.
Yeah, make sure you ask for Lee Heisman on the call when he comes out. He makes house calls too. So welcome back to the Shrimp Tank right here in Atlanta Business Radio X, coming to you from Sandy Springs. If you've never been down to the studios at Atlanta Business Radio X, or you ever thought about hosting your own show, it's a great opportunity to take a look at this. It's a wonderful studio, great producer, Ryan. So,
oh, thanks, Ted.
Yeah, well, we try, you know.
Too kind.
And we come to you live again, 11:30 to 12:30 every Thursday. You can hear a replay of the first segment that we did with Dr. Drobny and Derek. Here's just fantastic stuff all about the city of Kennesaw. Go to shrimptankpodcast.com. Make sure that when we do our post-show recap today that you catch the video. We're going to ask some really cool questions. And today, we always get to this little section here that we call Hot or Not. This is before the Plead the Fifth section, which, again, I know Hanks has to tread lightly so he doesn't get pulled over
very,
somewhere.
Very lightly, exactly. Yeah. Yes.
We know what you do at the Cracker Barrel, believe me. So I'm sitting here with my co-host, too, Chris Hanks, who's the executive director and founder of the Shore Center for Entrepreneurship, the only school in the state of Georgia that has a degree in entrepreneurship. So I guess my first hot or not is KSU football. Now it's a Division 1A. Is this a hot or not? Should people go out and buy some tickets if they've never seen Kennesaw State play?
Absolutely. Three night games. Come on, go Owls.
Are there three night games?
Wait a minute.
This year?
Three night games. We get tailgating. I think I mentioned that first, right? Tailgating.
Yeah.
Tailgating.
Yeah.
Three night games. Go Owls.
Apparently,
yeah.
Everyone says go to the loud security for right the loud.
Yeah, they say get loud.
Oh, get loud.
Yeah,
right?
Get loud.
Does Savant have one there as well? Oh, Savant has a suite
there. Savant has a box.
There.
Yes.
It's not really a box. It's an open air box.
An open air box.
You better be careful how you put those two together, savant and loud.
Yeah.
You know, John might not understand.
And I'm very proud to announce during football season, you will see some wonderful tables and tents promoting the entrepreneurship major and minor.
Right? That's you see which kid sells the most lemonade during a game or no?
Hey, we're always recruiting. You know, they say always be recruiting. We're ABR, always be recruiting. We're recruiting students even at the games.
I like that. So I guess here's a hot or not I have for you, and that's a couple more serious ones in here. Eminent domain when you're building a city, hot or not? Do you take real estate from people or not? You know, I just always wanted to ask it. So this, where would I get a chance to ask that kind of question?
Yeah, this isn't pleading the fifth, but we're not going to throw a spoke in the or a wrench in the wheel of momentum, Dr. Drobny. I know you have to do it.
I mean, I know I'm seeing what's happening in Alpharetta now. And I mean, look, you can't necessarily build some of that without it, right?
You can't stop progress. Not at the expense of the 31,999 others in the city.
Right.
You can't. You have to be amenable to what's going on and work with the city.
Eminent domain is really a last option for any municipality. I know the city of Kennesaw does everything that we can possibly do to work with landowners to avoid that. However, there are times when it does become necessary to go through the eminent domain process. Now, not every eminent domain process is negative. There are times where you have friendly condemnations because banks aren't willing to work with you for an easement or a temporary construction easement or even a purchase of property if there's a mortgage. Some homeowners or business owners at times are unrealistic in the dollars. So there are times when we have to use eminent domain, but we do everything that we possibly can to avoid that.
Yeah, I think it's fair. If you got to build a main street somewhere and, you know, you need to get some frontage, I mean, how else are you going to get it if you want to put nice sidewalks where people can walk and stroll and have dinner and a good time? You know, you can't do it if traffic is running fast both ways. So just very, very interesting.
All right. Hot or not, running for office.
Whoa. You saying my kid shouldn't do student council? That's not a good idea.
No, wait a minute. Now, I'm student council, not student council president. I'm PTSA president at the middle school. I thought a room full of PTA moms and dads were tough. But yeah, no, it's you certainly have to have buy-in from your family, which I did. I had buy-in from my wife on doing this. You know, I came into it with a past. I am who I am. I've experienced life. And I was challenged for, you know, what I do, what I did, but here I am now. We can always complain about, you know, the world we live in, but it's the world we live in. We've got to work with it. So let's make the best of it.
Because that seems always, I'm fascinated by that, the idea that you have to work so hard to just do your job. That's fascinating to me. Because I'm so passionate about what I do, but I didn't really have to lobby for the right to do it as much. I mean, I know there's politics and some of that. You know, I think as CEOs of businesses, you always have to sort of like earn your right every day, you know, and almost campaign for the right to be a CEO on a weekly basis so that you're worthy of being followed. But to work that hard to just get the job is fascinating to me.
I'll take it a step further because we touched on it just a little bit before we walked in. But I have to justify my actions, my previous actions, not just the actions that I take every day, but why I did what I did. Thank goodness we didn't have Facebook or whatever, many years ago. I think it's a great tool, but it's also an opportunity for us to experience, make our own decisions. We have to make mistakes in order to grow. I don't think they have to be intentional mistakes. So just, you have to learn. It's a part of a process.
Yeah.
And I've made my fair share. I've learned from them. I think I'm a better leader because of the mistakes I've made. I have those experiences. Without them, I would never be prepared for anything that's thrown at me.
Believe me, a young Chris Hanks on Facebook many years ago, it would have been big trouble.
Did you or did you not say, that guy is a jerk or whatever? Can you imagine like a presidential election, like, you know, 10, 20 years from now, they're going to be pulling out comments from 14-year-old, a 14-year-old wrote on Twitter.
Let's do one more hot or not, and then we'll take a break and we'll go to our plead the fifth section. So hot or not in a city, do you promote from within? Is it better to promote from within or to be able to grow the city? Do you need to gather people that have worked in other cities that have experienced higher growth or different types of cities? Do you rather promote from within or not?
I think you have to take ownership. I think if you're talking about our employees and how do we attract the right employees to grow?
It doesn't matter where you get them from, as long as you get the right ones.
I think they have to fit. They have to believe. You have to believe in them. It's developing trust and confidence, but it's you know, there's a delicate balance. I think the trust and verify. You know, we have to know what we're working with, but we have to be able to let people go out and build themselves as well, or we're never going to go anywhere. Why would you? Why would you take that chance if you're going to be criticized or ridiculed, knocked down? You know, let people try to do better. So you have to do it from within first.
Hey, we listen to the Shrimp Tank right here on Atlanta Business Radio X. We're going to take a quick break from our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to get to the plead the fifth question. Although plead the fifth with a mayor is a little bit more frightening than the business owners that we've had on here before. But I'm wondering if Derek Easterling will tell us the best mayor and worst mayor that he's ever seen. We'll find out right after the break.
Business Radio X, amplifying the voice of business. If your company is doing something interesting to genuinely serve your market, your community, and your profession, reach out to us directly through the contact page on the website at businessradiox.com and pitch us your story. Business Radio X, amplifying the voice of business.
Hey, welcome back to the Shrimp Tank. I'm your co-host, Ted Jenkins, sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who's the executive director and founder for the Shore Center for Entrepreneurship, the school that is blowing up in a good way right now. Why wouldn't your kid want to be an entrepreneur? How do you think jobs are going to get created in this country? Now, I know you see this election and everything's going on, and here's the political piece of this, right? Small business owners still create 70% of the jobs in America. And the beauty is when small business owners help other business owners, more money stays in the local community, and local communities like Kennesaw can grow like crazy. It's really, really exciting stuff. And that's part why we do this Shrimp Tank. We want to hear from our future entrepreneurs, the high school kids, the college kids, the future geniuses of tomorrow. We also want to hear from the business owners of today about how they're growing our communities and helping foster entrepreneurship here in the state of Georgia. I know Chris has spearheaded a lot of that. He's involved in a lot of stuff. What happened, by the way, before we get to the plea of the fifth on your NPR interview?
NPR, a little different style, Ted.
NPR thing that makes me think of is there was an Alec Baldwin piece of the sweaty balls. And
that's great. Right before we talked to the mayor, Ted. So
it's sweaty, SCHWEDDY. So you can think what you want to think on the other side of this. But I will say to you, last year I gave away during holiday time, and you'll like this. Maybe I'll buy one for you if you're nice, Mr. Hanks, this year, is they actually had sweaty balls that you can give away with the Alex Baldwin NPR. They're large marshmallows covered in some sort of chocolate and crunchy stuff, and it says you can get 4 sweaty balls. So that's what it says. So if you're nice enough, I'll be glad to get those for you this holiday season.
I look forward to that.
A 4-pack of sweaty balls for you. So, all right, we got a remote question in here for the mayor, which is, what does Army and Navy stand for? What does that stand for? And that's from Mr. Loud.
Okay. Well, he heard it the first time, so I'm going to spell it out for you, John. Army is ain't ready to be a Marine yet. And Navy is just a reminder to never again volunteer yourself.
All right. Well, I'm going to start off with the plead the fifth in here. So I'm not going to go down that negative route because it's not this kind of show. But I do want to find out, like, of all the mayors that you've seen across the United States, who is the best mayor? Have you seen someone that you say this is somebody who's done an exemplary job serving the community and building a city?
The first one that comes to mind is Tommy Alleygood up in Acworth. Tommy is a true leader. He has his own style. Nobody's willing to run against him. So he's done something right. But I think Tommy is comfortable with who he is and with his capabilities. And that's what I'm trying to glean and learn from him as a mayor, is how can I do a better job of serving the people? How do I feel more comfortable with who I am, especially with what I don't know yet? I mean, I'm 8 months in and I'm still listening and I'm still learning. When when is it time, you know, for me to let go?
I like that.
So what's the most frustrating part about being a mayor?
There are a few things. I think
you struck a chord there, huh?
Yeah, really.
I like that.
I sense that there's more than one. You know,
yeah, trying to prioritize here. Let's get that word going. The most frustrating thing is what I don't get done in the day. I still go in. I show up every day, and I want to make one thing happen. It's the old speech. You know, if you want to say you accomplished something, start out by making your bed, because then at the end of the day, at least you come home to a bed that's made up. But I want to achieve one thing every day. And sometimes that doesn't happen until right before I go to the house. And that's really frustrating for me, because it does take time. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of energy. And I don't want to be, personally, I don't want to be outworked by the staff, because they put their hearts into this. And I want them to know that I'm working as hard as they are to be successful.
So I'm wondering on a plead the fifth in here, you know, like any business, we all have customers that sometimes we wish just didn't do business with us. And I'm wondering, without naming names in here, plead the fifth, I mean, are there some customers that you would say, boy, I wish you didn't live here in Kennesaw?
No.
Yeah,
no.
Do you wish that 32,000 was more like 30?
No, absolutely not. I mean, there may be challenges. There may be challenges.
Such a good answer.
But we're all
such a good answer.
That's the political answer, okay?
But there are people, you know, I always think about that Seinfeld episode where Elaine Bennis basically gets like blacklisted from the doctor's list. And I can only imagine, like, in any other business, that there are people that call all the time, and the people in the city. Now, Dr. Drobny will probably, he won't name names, but there's got to be a few people that call all the time. They go, not them again.
Yeah, I think it's the deli scene. No soup for you. Yeah, no soup for you.
Wow. Okay, so of all the rules that you have to sort of deal with in trying to navigate your vision and your mission, what's the most stupid rule that you would like to kill?
If the look doesn't do it, they're parameters. I mean, we have to interpret them the way we need to achieve the mission, to achieve the end goal. So I don't know that any of them are stupid. It's the idea of, you know, you don't want everybody on your team that thinks the same way. You need that person that's got that outlandish idea or that negative attitude, because he's still going to ask, or she's going to ask, some pretty good questions that still need to be answered. So rules, procedures, they all have their purpose, the intended purpose. So I really don't think I could say I have one.
Okay.
I want to do two more plead the fifth questions, one for me, one for Hanks. Now, I want to know, plead the fifth here, what will it take to get an official Chris Hanks day in the city of Kennesaw? What does it take to get an official
I have
day?
My own official, I'm referencing our theme song, so there we go. That's
the Roadie 2000.
Yes,
Roadie 2000.
An official day, that would be pretty amazing.
Well, speaking of that theme song that introduced us, I am so glad there's not a word in there that rhymes with mayor or Easterling, but I did hear the Hanks, okay?
No, there is, player.
Oh, yeah. No,
yeah.
No, no. You didn't have to go there. What would it take? That's an easy. We've got an event coming up next week, next Friday night, starting at 6 to 10, and then Saturday all day from 10 to 10. It's the Pigs and Peaches, the 16th annual Pigs and Peaches.
Really?
I want to see, well, I don't really want to see it, but I want him to perform. I want Chris to get up on stage and clog.
And yes.
And clog.
Yeah, I want him to clog.
If he agrees
to
do
him
it,
to be in all
I
that
agree
regalia.
To show up and video him. I'll do it. I will.
I mean, I watched him. I mean, I may even forget his tag number by then.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah, I could bust a move on that.
And we're going to have 65,000 people down there.
65,000.
Wow. 200 vendors.
The city of the residents of Kennesaw.
Yeah.
That's like
you like to eat, right?
That's absolutely.
So barbecue. So it's a sanctioned event. You know, we're going to give away a lot of money and prizes.
Yeah.
We have 38 teams competing. So, yeah, I want to see
you see it.
Clog.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay?
You know, I'm so used to lecturing about entrepreneurship, but now I could just do it through dance.
Oh, absolutely.
No words, just interpretive dance.
The entrepreneur dance. I like that.
Yeah, exactly.
And rap themed music in the background.
Exactly.
We find you in the middle of like Airplane 3 of like some random segment in there, something like that.
Exactly.
All right, let's do one more for the mayor and then we'll come to a close here.
All right, one more. So if you had a take back as during your term as mayor, what would it be?
A take back?
Yeah. If you say, gosh, I wish I could take that one back, or I wish I wouldn't have done that. Do you have one of those?
No, not yet.
Not yet? That's good. Yeah,
I still have awesome time.
Yeah.
3 years and 4 months.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's awesome.
Because I, you know, as I pause to answer, I don't believe in knee-jerk reactions. So
right,
I'm really trying to think about what I have. And just to throw this out there, in my office above my door, I have a boomerang. On the back of it, it says words and actions. And I can see it from my desk. And it's just a reminder that everything that I say and do is going to come back and get me.
Absolutely.
So if I take time, if I reflect, just take that initial 5 seconds to, you know, before I answer. And I know that's not good for radio, but
no, it's a great,
it's a tool for me so that I don't have to worry about that take back.
No. And that's a great lesson for anybody, right? Because sometimes we forget how much meaning sometimes we create with our words and actions. So that's a great lesson for all of us.
Well, we wanted to thank Mayor Derek Easterling of Kennesaw for coming on today and Dr. Jeff Drobny, city manager. Thanks, you guys, for coming on today. This is just interesting hearing about how a city operates, but more interesting for those of you that you think about running a business. It's not only a retail shop or a technology company. One day you may think about running the business of a city, which at $50 million is a pretty, pretty big business. So we're excited. Next week, we're going to bring you a guest. His name is Zach Zellner. He has a company called Penny Delivery. How could you get food delivered to your door for one penny? You have to find out when you come on the Shrimp Tank. And by the way, here's your little money tip as we leave the show today. I don't know if those of you have ever heard of 7-Eleven, but they have a drink called Slurpee. And Slurpee turns 50. And on Friday and Saturday, if you get into a 7-Eleven, you can get a Slurpee for free.
I remember when they were a nickel. And 7-Eleven was open from 7 to 11.
That's right. So grab a Slurpee for free and make sure that you go to shrimptankpodcast.com so you can hear entire replay of our whole broadcast today with the mayor. And we'll look forward to doing our post-show recap. We'll talk to you next week right here on the Shrimp Tank. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.